Artsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And now I'm going to turn to my guest, and I enjoy her book, but there's so many other things about her that I really enjoy. So, Patricia Levy, welcome to Joy on Paper, and let's talk about Hollyland.
Thank you so much for having me, and that was such a lovely poem. I really enjoyed that.
She's so good. She is so good. And I particularly love that poem. It's so evocative. And as you are as you are somebody who loves the arts and who loves words, I thought that was a nice poem to play just before you get on the program to talk about your own work, which is really quite amazing.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
In your new book called Hollyland, which is a love story, it's nice, it's refreshing. They're not teenagers, so what do you want to tell people about Hollyland? And then I want to talk about what you were able to do in this book is to use the subject that is your overall big subject. I should introduce you as a PhD. So it's Dr. Levy, who understands a lot about art, and you get to use that also in this book.
That's right. Thank you. So Hollyland is a love story. It's really a light, feel-good celebrity romance. The protagonist is Dee Schwartz, and she's 40 years old, and she is a writer and an arts researcher. And in the opening scene, by happenstance, she meets Ryder Field, who is a famous actor who's descended from Hollywood royalty, and he's known as sort of a bad boy, and he's 50 years old. And they just have an instant connection, and they both lost their mothers at a young age for different reasons, and that profoundly affected both of them. And through that sort of shared loss and grief, as well as the passion they both have for the arts, they fall madly in love. And the book is really their love story. And while writing it, it's also a celebration of the arts. I've spent the last 20 years as an arts researcher in addition to being a novelist, and I've written many nonfiction books about the arts. And this was the novel that I sort of wove it into through these characters, and especially Dee.
Well, it is lovely. It is charming. I found it delightful. I loved both of the characters. As you said, he's 50 years old, but he's in some ways the bad boy of Hollywood. You know, they can be pretty old over there, but the nice thing, that idea of falling in love and sort of spontaneously, spontaneous combustion kind of thing, I like, because I fell in love with my husband in an instant. I mean, literally.
Oh, I love that.
In an instant. He walked to the door of my office. I took one look at him, and I was in love. And at that moment, I decided to marry him. He had not yet said a word. He had not yet. That was it. All I needed to know, and I prayed to God that he didn't smoke, because then.
That was your deal breaker?
It was a deal breaker. Or ever smoke, because you can never trust people who say they stop smoking. And I was so, so blessed that it turned out he's a pilot, never smoked, was not allowed to smoke in the Air Force around planes in those days, and absolutely hated smoking. That was it. And after that, I knew that that was it for life.
I absolutely love that story. I mean, it's a fantastic story. And I think, you know, some people, they love a romance novel, such as the one I wrote, that has this sort of like instant, immediate connection. Some readers, it's not for them. They don't like that sort of instant love. But I just think it's because they've never experienced it. So they doubt it, but it's very, very real, and many of us have had it.
Oh, it happens, and you can't believe it. I mean, literally, it took my breath away that it would happen like that, because I was young. I thought, oh, well, you know, you have a lot of boyfriends, you go through it. No, that was it. I just took a look at that, and that's what I liked about the book, and it's so charming in so many ways. And then, of course, the fact that it has a lot of art in it, and a lot of talking about art, a lot of thinking about the importance of art was so delightful for me.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, I wrote this novel during the lockdown when the pandemic first started, and, you know, none of us were able to leave our homes for quite a while, and I needed a way to spend my time. And so I wanted to write something joyful because the world was not joyful at that time, so I wanted some escape. And I decided to draw on what I know best for this book and to really weave a celebration of the arts into the book. So there are all kinds of conversations about the arts, and I hope when people read it, it makes them appreciate the arts and the important roles that they play in our life and how inspiring creativity is.
And it's so true. And people don't understand. I mean, one of the things why I like to talk about reading and encourage people to read is that it does change. It changes you. It changes your brain cells. This is what people don't understand, that by reading, things are happening in your brain that you cannot understand. But it's almost magical, the connections and all those neurons that are moving around in there, just sparking away, you know, like a spark of love. But
oh, it's absolutely true. I mean, I've actually written about in my nonfiction work, there's a field called literary neuroscience, which is really the neuroscience of our brains on fiction, basically. So what happens to us when we're reading literature? And the research is amazing. I mean, in a nutshell, they show that when we're reading fiction, our entire brain is engaged, including regions that you wouldn't think would be engaged with reading, such as those involving touch. So, for example, when you're reading a novel and you happen to love it and you can't put it down and you feel immersed, there's actually something physiological happening to you that's real. And there are studies that show this time and again, and that the same thing does not happen when you read nonfiction prose. It only happens when we're engaged with fiction. And of course, there's neuroscience on how our brain processes other arts as well, and it's all very similar. I mean, it basically all says the same thing, that our entire brains are engaged when we're immersed in a piece of art, whatever that art is, and that the impressions last for days. So those activations in our brain last for days. So it's really fascinating. You know, it absolutely, reading changes us. It changes our emotional intelligence. It changes us physiologically. It changes our worldview. So I just love what you do on this show.
Well, one of the things is, I've been thinking lately about prisons and all of the people in prisons. And what they really need to do is they need to bring them the great books, and they need to have people who read with them, who bring them into the world of reading. Just like I think they should also have more crafts for them to do. I think if you take somebody and give them a lump of clay and you say, make something out of this. And at first they don't know what to do and they don't know how to do it, but clay can talk to you and it starts, changes your mind. You start thinking about things. And if you're given ideas of, you know, maybe copy this, maybe copy that, but all of that opens so many parts of your brain.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And for people listening, there are many prison book programs where you can send books to prisons. And I myself have done that many times over the years and sent signed books. And you can look specifically in your area if you want. You can look specifically for women's prisons. And then there are other groups, too, that can benefit so much from reading and from fiction. For example, our military. There's a wonderful program called Operation Paperback where you can send your used paperback books to people in the military, whether they're serving in this country or abroad, and to their families. And I just think all of these different kinds of programs are so important and need to be supported.
Exactly. Now, in your book, Hollyland, which is a great name for the book, I think it's a nice name, very catchy.
Thank you.
And tell us about some of the art discussions that you have in this book and why you use those specific discussions.
Well, it starts in the very beginning of the book, one of the themes, and it carries through, and that is there a difference between art and entertainment? And that's one of the conversations that Dee and Rye have in the very beginning, and it sort of carries through the book, which really, it means, you know, if something is popular, or if we try to make it popular, does that diminish the artistic qualities? Should artists be thinking about audience, or should they not be thinking about audience? And I don't offer any solutions to these. It's just the book poses these questions. And it also asks questions like, who are the real movie stars on the big screen of our lives? Is it really, you know, people from Hollywood, or is it those that we love and cherish the most? And there are many scenes that happen with art around. So, for example, I don't want to give anything away, but there is a scene at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, and the couple goes through some very specific exhibits, and then at the end of the scene, for a pivotal moment, they're standing in front of a specific painting, Circus Sideshow by Seurat. And that was the first painting that Seurat ever painted of the entertainers outside of the circus. So the street entertainers, the street performers, they're people who are doing it for tips and who aren't being paid. And so it was just interesting to put this scene there where you have a, you know, multimillionaire Hollywood movie and TV star, and you have this arts researcher who just has this love and passion for the arts having this discussion of what's the difference between the paintings hanging on the walls in this museum and the street art we saw in Central Park. And so it just raises questions throughout the book about the different roles of arts in our lives, the different kinds of art, how we might look at things differently. And it's really a celebration.
It is. And, oh, I that scene, I love. Of course, I've spent hours and hours and hours in that museum and really all the museums in New York. When I was a kid, when I was a teenager, as a matter of fact, I spent my entire junior year in high school at the Detroit Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, wow.
Well, because I skipped school. Well, but the vice principal gave me, they realized that it was really ridiculous, other than to go in for Latin classes and chemistry classes, it was ridiculous for me to go into school because I had read more books than all the teachers combined. So by that point in my life, so they just let me. They just let me do what I wanted to do, which is spend my time in the museum. So that year was just immersed. I was immersed in art and had the opportunity also to meet some great artists who were having exhibits there. It changes you so much if you're involved in the arts.
It does. It really does. I mean, I've been very lucky to be immersed in the arts my entire life. I grew up and my mother is a painter and there were other artists in my family and I spent my childhood going to museums and art galleries, theater. I started taking ballet classes when I was 5, which I did for 14 years. I was involved with theater and I've been doing creative writing and, of course, reading my whole life. So I feel very, very lucky that I've been exposed to so much because it's so enriching in so many different ways.
Well, your books are excellent. Your other books, and for the writers in who are listening, for anyone who's writing, you really have to go and look at Patricia's website. She's got a list of her books there, and it's one of them is called Method Meets Art, and the other one, which is really, you know, it's so important, the Handbook for Arts-Based Research is a great book. Again, writers need to go more into art, understand it better, and use it in their books.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I have a book, a recent book called Reinvention: Methods of Social Fiction, and it's all about the merging of writing and creative writing practices and other forms of research that we do. And so there's an arts narrative in that too. But I really wrote that book for writers. But I do think that, you know, as writers know, when we're immersed in a story world we're creating, there's this very magical process of discovery that's happening. And that's something that we can experience through all of the arts, whether it's creating it or just experiencing it and consuming it. And it's so broadening. It changes your worldview.
It does. And your nonfiction writing is very readable, very easy to understand, and really all the writers out there have to get a couple of your books, because there's different ones that you cover different subjects, and they're really great for writers. And then, you know, now that you move to fiction, with Hollyland, what I like about it is it's, in a way, a very simple story. It's about love.
Yes.
And that, we need more of that. There are times where you just want to take a book, and you don't need another serial killer, for goodness sakes. You don't need to get depressed. You need that. Yeah. You need to believe in love. And
thank you. I mean, that's really what I'm trying to focus on in my fiction these days, with this book and the others I have coming out in the future, is just to write love stories that fill people with joy and hope and inspiration. And I think there's so much value in that, and it's not for every reader. I mean, some readers want a book that, you know, is like a big movie plot with buildings blowing up and exciting twists and turns, and I totally get that, but that's not what I do. What I'm interested in is these love stories that are really about the relationships and the joy and complexity of love itself.
Exactly. And we need it. You're right. We need it. Sometimes a book like this will just calm you down. And also, I think, give people hope. When I said, you know, that your characters are not young, and that's what people need. They need to know that, you know, you can be in love at 40 and 50 and 60. And love is there if you reach out for it, if you watch for it, if you take chances of going out, and, you know, now that we can get out of the house again.
Absolutely right. I mean, one of the real messages of this book is that, you know, no matter what's happened in your life, there might be magic right around the corner. So you have to go out looking for it. You have to go out searching for that gold dust in your life. And I love that the characters in this book found each other later in life, as many of us do. But it doesn't matter. It could be any age. The point is that, you know, you have to be open to possibility in life in order to experience the best of it.
And you can't sit at home watching reruns of NCIS or some silly comedy and eating ice cream. You have to get out there. You have to be with people. Go to art museums. Take an art class. Take a painting class, a sculpting class. Get out there and find people with sort of interests that will be interesting to you, and you will be interesting to them. I think that's what I got out of Hollyland, that it's a hopeful book that people will say, yeah, you know, there's other things to talk about than all the bad news, and we don't need dead bodies and blood and guts all over the place. We just need to look at some nice art and to think nice thoughts and talk, actually. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I really think that what you know, a lot of us need sometimes is really just sort of a hug, and that's the kind of book I wanted to write. Something that when you read it, it feels like a warm, cozy hug.
Well, you
so
did
it's,
that.
It's, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you did that. Very, very nicely. And the time is running out, so I have to say bye to you, but I want to tell people it's a lovely book. And you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, it's patricialevy.com. That's LEAVY. And you can find all my links to social media and, of course, to Hollyland.
Okay. Patricia Levy, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Hollyland is wonderful. And for all you writers, get her other books, because you really need them. Again, thank you for being on Joy on Paper today. Bye-bye
now. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.